As we confess our sins this morning, we'll look at two Proverbs as we continue through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 21, verse 9, and Proverbs 21, verse 19. These two Proverbs are related, as you will see, so we will look at them together. So let's begin with Proverbs 21, verse 9. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And then verse 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So this morning, as we look at these two Proverbs, they're obviously related. And I know they speak primarily about women, wives, but we will make sure that we direct it to each of us as well this morning. But I want to explain to you the picture that's given in these Proverbs, because you get two illustrations about what it's like to live with a very difficult woman. And they're very powerful pictures, aren't they? First, to live on the corner of a housetop, exposed to the wind and the rain, rather than living in the house with a contentious and quarrelsome wife, that is better. It is better to be exposed to the elements than to be in that house with that kind of woman. Secondly, it's better to find yourself parched in the desert, dying, barely able to get sustenance, rather than living with a contentious and quarrelsome woman. Now, I want to rephrase these two verses into a modern Coloradan equivalent for you, so that we might not feel such cultural distance. Here's verse 9 in my paraphrase. Better to sleep in a tent in your backyard during a blizzard than in a warm, cozy house shared with a contentious woman. Here's verse 19. Better to be stranded on the side of the road with a broken down car in the middle of Nebraska without AAA or a cell phone than to dwell in a home with a contentious and angry woman. That's the idea that it's communicating, brothers and sisters, to us. Now, you might be wondering, why does this proverb just pick on angry women? Why not all of us? Because angry men, angry children have a similar effect upon the home, don't they? Well, I think part of the answer is that we need to remember that Proverbs, in its original historical context, was in large part written to young men. And young men were exhorted to find a good, godly wife that would be a good helper in that marriage. And I think the purpose of this proverb is to say, young men, don't marry a woman like this. It could be really hard for you if you marry a woman like this. And so I think that's why it focuses on women. But the fact of the matter is, there's many other proverbs that talk about the danger of anger, of contention, in all different kinds of relationships. And so I want to broaden the application to each of us and to think about how we contribute to the health or the sickness of the home by our actions. This proverb calls us to consider how our angry, irritable behavior towards one another creates a toxic environment in our homes. The toxicity of your home can be measured by how much anger, impatience, and contention exists. When contentiousness is constant in the home, you have a very spiritually toxic environment that is very vexing for people. Eventually, it can get so bad that members of your family would much rather sleep outside or would much rather be stranded in Nebraska than to be with you in the home. So I want each of us to evaluate our own actions in the home. Think about how your behavior affects others day to day. Husbands and fathers, do you regularly voice impatience, frustration, lack of forgiveness, lack of kindness towards your children or your wife? Wives and mothers, do you display a contentious, argumentative spirit with your husband? Do you show impatience towards your children? Children, do you raise the stress levels and frustrate your parents by arguing back to them all the time, pressing against their counsel not obeying what they're telling you to do? Do you use harsh and unkind words towards your siblings or towards your parents? By our sinful behavior towards others in the home, we become the cause of a spiritually toxic environment that is very hard to be in. Are you grieved by how your sins hurt others in the home? Does that grieve you? Do you reflect upon the hurt that you bring to others in the home by how you act? And to think that others in our home would rather be outside than to be with us should humble us. If we ever get to that point where people want to be outside rather than being with us, that should be a great cause for humility. And it calls us to humble confession of our sinful actions that have hurt one another in the home. These actions have dishonored the Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us to walk worthy of our calling and to love one another, to forgive one another, to be kind towards one another. And thankfully, where there is love in the home, there is a bearing with one another. We don't just pack up and go sleep outside in a tent. We continue. We seek to forbear. We seek to long suffer with one another. That's what we're called to do, isn't it? We're not called to just give up, even when it's hard. We're called to love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, even difficult situations. One of the most important passages, I think, as a family we can memorize, both as a church family and as individual families in the church, is Ephesians 4:32. This is such an important verse to describe how we are to create not a spiritually toxic environment, but a warm, loving environment. And it says in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." When we act towards one another in an unloving and unkind way, we are so far from grasping the love of God in Christ to us, who has forgiven us of so much. And yet we act towards one another in the home as if there is no place for forgiveness. We will not forgive each other. We will not release. We will not bear all things. We're not grasping, brothers and sisters, what we've received in Christ. And so when it comes to living in the home, we must act in kindness towards one another so that we do not create this vexing, difficult, toxic situation. So we need to each admit the reality. You and I are naturally a very hard person to live with. You're not easy to live with. And why is that? Because you are a sinner, you need God's grace. You're not a naturally kind person. You're not a naturally loving person until that Holy Spirit of God works in you to create kindness, to create love. You need the grace of God, brothers and sisters. And we have two encouraging promises to grab hold of as we confess our sins in light of these Proverbs this morning. The first is this: God the Father forgives you of all your sins when you come to him through Jesus Christ. All those sins of contention and anger, he will wash away. He will forgive you of those things if you will come to him and confess them this morning. The second is this: if you are in Christ and the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, then you have the power to overcome that contention, that anger, that lack of kindness that you have exercised towards others. You have the power to be kind. With God's help, you can be tender-hearted. With God's help, you can forgive as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray for these things this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful that we have forgiveness always in Christ. We are so thankful that every week we hear this promise of pardon, that our sins are washed away. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of these sins of the flesh. Forgive us for creating a toxic environment in our homes. Forgive us for hurting others with our words, for creating a difficult environment by our actions. We pray that you would cleanse us of these sins. Transform us, Lord, into those that love others, and that others would love to be around us because we act in a loving way. We build up with our words. We show kindness. We show gentleness. Transform us by your Holy Spirit, we ask. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.